Y no me acuerdo. No me acuerdo nada más. I'm going to give an explanation of the pastor ordination and what it is about, and what it entails, and why we're doing this. Number two, I'm going to talk about how the pastors are going to contribute to a peaceful, happy, beautiful Malaysia. The pastors, although the name is pastor, is not here to make all of Malaysia Buddhist. That's not what we want. That's not necessary. And that's not viable. And that's not respectful. But the pastors are here to contribute to the Buddhist sector of beautiful Malaysia, to make the Buddhists of Malaysia even more better citizens, even more better contributors to society. So we have our Muslim sector, we have our Hindu sector, we have our Christian sector, and we have our Buddhist sector. And if each sector contributes to their own people to become a better member of society, a productive, a peaceful, a happy member of society, this is the purpose of why Kichara House exists, why we wish to create Kichara World Peace Center, KWPC, and why we wish, well, I wish to create the pastors. And I'll explain all that. And I'm not going to make my talk too long, too extensive, but short and sweet. Why? We Malaysians like to get to bed early. And I say that nicely, we. Now, the second thing I want to talk about is, I wanted to talk about how our wrong perceptions bring us unhappiness and brings unhappiness to the people around us. Okay? What I'm going to share with the educated, esteemed crowd comes from Lord Buddha, comes from Buddha, comes from Shakyamuni, comes from Lama Tsongkhapa, but it applies to every single sentient being, every single being who wishes to be happy. So when I share what I'm going to share with you in a short while, although it comes from Buddha Shakyamuni, you do not need to be Buddhist. You do not need to be religious or fanatical. You don't need to label yourself in any way, shape, or form. But if you take wisdom and you apply it, and the wisdom changes your life and changes the lives around you, that's all that matters. I'm not here tonight to teach you how to pray my way, because you know how to pray your way. And that's good enough. Maybe sometimes better. I'm not here to teach you that my philosophy or my thinking is more superior or better. No. We can get a room full of religious people all the time, and we can debate until we all die. And nobody will come out with a conclusion who's the best or who's better. So what's my point? My point is simple. I believe all religions have something powerful to contribute. And I also believe that people who don't believe in religion, if I can respectfully label them atheists, also have something very positive to contribute. Because we're all going to be here together. Use the same resources, use the same water, use the same air, earth, land. We're going to use everything the same. So if I'm going to be this kind of fanatical type of person that, oh, I can only associate with Buddhists, Buddhists are the best. Everything else is not right. Everybody else is going to hell. Everybody else is going to suffer. They're on the wrong path. Then I'm going to have to keep myself pure everywhere I go. I can't ride any public airplanes. I have to bless it before. I don't know who sat there before me. And if it's a Buddhist who sat there before me, I have to make sure it's my type of Buddhist. I mean, it has to be Tibetan Buddhist, within that Gelugpa Buddhist, within that Ganden Buddhist. Pretty much I'm going to have to walk everywhere on my own. And even that, I've got to bless the land before I walk. I don't know who stepped there before I did. So we can go crazy. You know, I can't eat with you because you're not Buddhist. I can't light an incense at your funeral because you're not Buddhist. I can't enjoy myself with you because you're not Buddhist. That's all very silly. Why is that very silly? Because we take some religion to the extreme. Are we practicing religion to become a better person? Or are we taking, or are we practicing religion as a way of filling our insecurities? To say that, hey, I belong to this huge religious movement. And this huge religious movement that I belong to, since it's so huge and I belong to it, I'm good. I'm perfect. You can't touch me. I'm right. So are we practicing religion because we're insecure? Or are we practicing religion because we wish to transform? If we're practicing religion because we wish to transform, then all religion is excellent. And if every religious teacher out there believes this and says this and talks about this, then the world will come to peace very fast. And so maybe not everybody's saying that. It's not the fault of the religion, it's the fault of the speaker. No religion has any fault. So it is the fault of the teachers who are not meditating, contemplating, and thinking deeper of what their faith means in their lives to them. For me, my faith, what does it mean to me? To overcome the internal issues that I have. My anger, my jealousy, my attachments, my pain, my sorrows. And because of my attachment, anger, jealousy, and sorrows, the pain and anger and jealousy and sorrow that I give to people around me. You see, whoever gave you pain, gave you pain. Whoever did you wrong, did you wrong. Let's not philosophize round and round and round and round about that. Whoever gave you pain, gave you pain. Whoever hurt you, hurt you. Whoever lied to you, disappointed you. And whoever deceived you. And whoever broke their promises to you, they broke their promises to you. We don't need to even debate why, how, what, it happened. We don't even need to tell the person, but it's your karma. It is, but we don't need to tell them right now. You see, if someone got run over by the car, you don't say to them, it's your fault, you should have not crossed the red light. Take him to the hospital first. Imagine the guy, this fella walks across the street on a red light, gets run over, and he's like, oh, dum-dum. Why'd you run the red light? If you didn't run the red light, it wouldn't be like that. Then your wife won't be crying. Then your kids won't be worried. Now how are you going to work? How are you going to pay your bills? who's gonna park your car on the side? How? And look at the mess you made with your clothes. Then until the guy apologizes, confesses, then you take to the hospital. By that time, maybe he's paralyzed. Cannot move already. So my point is, no point to say, hey, why'd you cross that red light? Similarly, you don't need to check why those people hurt you, why they disappointed you. And a lot of things I'm going to tell all of you, I say with a lot of respect, maybe it hits a raw nerve in you because it happened to you. But I'm not trying to point anyone out here. I'm not trying to point fingers. Okay, if I want to point fingers, I point fingers because I'm very direct. But I'm not here to point any fingers. If I hit a raw nerve, please forgive me ahead of time. My speeches and my sermons are meant to make you go home and think deeper. It's not to compliment you and talk nice and do a little prayer, Om Mani Padme Hum, we're all going to be saved and we go home. No. I've been reciting Om Mani Padme Hum my whole life. I'm still fat, 40, middle-aged, and sick. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you go home and recite Om Mani Padme Hum, everything's going to be okay. Because I'm not okay. Yes, sad to say, I'm not okay. Inside and outside. But I know the methods to become okay, and I've been applying them. Not very well, but I've been applying them. I'm not the best monk in the world, but I'm definitely not the worst. Let's put it this way. You should have came earlier and grabbed the apples from the top of the barrel. That's what happens when you come late. Now, so I'm not here to tell you that Buddhism is the best. Buddhism is the most supreme. And if you don't accept Buddhism, if you don't practice Buddhism, you are wrong. You're going to go to hell. You're going to be punished, and Buddha is the only way. I'm not here to tell you that, because if I tell you that, I would have to assume none of you went to school, you're uneducated, you're unexposed, and basically you're not very intelligent. And I don't think any of you are like that. So I'm here to tell you that Buddhism is good. In what way? It has wisdom like any other philosophies to add to our lives if we choose to adopt it and do something about our lives. And if we adopt those, it'll be fine. For example, Pilates was started by who? Wasn't started by an American. It wasn't started by a French. It wasn't started by a Japanese. But Japanese can do Pilates. Chinese can do Pilates. A Brazilian can do Pilates. You don't have to be the same nationality as the person who started it to practice it. But it benefits you. It helps you. Similarly, in your lives, whoever has hurt you, whoever has disappointed you, whoever has damaged you, the damage and the disappointment and the pain is real. What you're feeling is real. And you deserve to feel it. But once the damage is done, once the damage is done, you don't need to continue feeling it. You don't need to continue holding on to it. You don't need to continue being afraid of it. If I meet one scary person at KLIA, it doesn't mean everybody I meet afterwards in Malaysia will be scary. If I meet one scary American, it doesn't mean everybody in America is scary. There's a lot of scary people there, but not everybody. Oh, I've met quite a few scary people there. So, everything in life that we've been told has been a deception. Everything we've been told. And the people who tell it to us are people who love us, are people who want good things for us. Our teachers, our parents, our elders, our seniors. But everything they've been telling us has been deception and not the truth. And they're not telling you because they know. They're telling you because they also don't know. They have to live the deception and then before that generation and that generation, that generation, that generation. And what is that deception? That deception is if you have a lot of position and status, you'll be happy. You'll be at peace. And everybody's going to love you and respect you. And everyone is going to be your friend, a real friend. So let me get out there and get the status. Let me get out there and get the name. Let me get out there and get the position and get the power and get that status. And then when we get it, when we close the doors, we look behind us and we go, ooh, that one's jealous of me and I didn't even do anything. That one is saying this about me and I didn't even do it. That one's saying I'm wearing a wig and it's my real hair. That one is trying to usurp my position. That one is saying I'm having an affair with the lamppost. That one is telling me my husband's having an affair with the lamppost. And that one is trying to have an affair with my husband and the lamppost. And that one came to see me, want to be my friend, and but actually they didn't want to be my friend. They wanted me to give him 500, acres of land, $500 million, and all the jewelry that I own, but they want to be my friend. And so when we reach the status, and please excuse me, Malaysians love status. I know too, because I've become Malaysianized. I'm dying to get my datoship, but I want... I don't want the normal dato. I want the dato Sri, is it? Because when you're dato, if you say dato, half the people go yes. What's the point? Okay, so I'm also part of the attachment. Now, so once you get your position, people say to you, I want to be your friend. And after a while, you become scared. Do they? I want to do a business deal with you. I want to meet your friends. Do you want to meet my friends or use me to meet my friends? I'm sorry. Do you, I want to come and see how you are. You're not well. Yes, do you want to make me well or put something in my drink to make me more unwell? You know, what do you want? So when you reach that position and you reach that status, everybody who told you that if you reach a status was wrong. Because you know what? To have that name and to have that status and to have that position means you have to give up all your dignity, all your peace of mind, all your happiness, your health, even sometimes your marriage. You have to give everything up to maintain that position. And then when people show up, I'm happy. I'm all right. Everything's all right. But you're not. You're not because you're a bad person. Because you put yourself into that deception, not because you're a bad person, because you didn't know. You didn't know. So, if... I'm going to walk around so I get closer with my audience. I was influenced by Oprah. When you get your position and you get your status, then you're supposed to be happy. People are supposed to respect you, but do they? People are supposed to like you because you worked so hard to get that position. Do they like you? You're supposed to be at peace because now you have power. You have position, you have money, you can influence people. Are you happy? Or is it based on things that can be removed easily and the position falls? And do you spend most of your life keeping everything necessary to keep that position in place? Do you spend your whole life, your energy, your health? Do you spend all your energy to keep those intact so you can have this? Because nothing arises without a cause. Nothing arises without a cause. So what am I saying? You're not supposed to have position and status and power? No. That means there'll be no leaders. There'll be no government. There'll be no kings. There'll be no governors. There'll be anarchy. It'll be crazy. You all be ripping away my brocades and statues and my chairs, and I come in here, there'd be nothing here, it'd be anarchy. And then if I call the police to report on you, they say, but you say we should be attached to position. So, you can have position. You can have power. You can have name and status. But what's important is this. Is to realize two points. One is that itself in life never brings happiness. It never brings peace. It never brings you your desired goals. Hence, it is deceptive. They say, but I was told that by my parents, my uncle, my friend, my hero. Yes, you were told that, and they told it to you from the bottom of their heart, but that's all they knew. They didn't know more than that. What else do you want them to advise you in life? Be a loser? Be a homeless? Stand in line at KSK every week? What do you want them to say to you? So what is the balance? The balance is this. The balance is not to sit around and not achieve anything, and not get anything, and not go for anything. That's not the purpose of what I'm trying to share with all of you. What I'm trying to share with all of you is go for what you want to go for, but realize that will not bring you the desired peace and happiness that you seek. And hence, if you apply that to chasing for great amounts of wealth, to chase after the most beautiful girl in the world, to chase after the most beautiful, richest man in the world, to chase after the biggest real estate property in the world, if you spend your life chasing after all these dreams, that's all you have done, spent your life. Because when the marriage is just in name, and you're at home lonely and unhappy and sad, it's too late. And the sadness pervades, and you don't know what to do. And when you have all your money, when you have all your money, and you're sitting on a pile of money, and you're so worried, who's going to ask you for donation? Who's going to ask you for help? Who's going to want this? Who's going to want that? And your fear is always losing your money, then it's the same as if you've never made one dime because you're not able to spend it. Your mortal fear of it. So it's the same as if you don't have any money at all. And if you spend all your time just on marriage, just on your relationships, getting marriage, yes, get married. Have a relationship. Have a relationship with who you want and how you want. Just don't break the law. Have your relationship. But to realize that just the relationship alone, it will wear off. What will wear off? Maybe not the love, but things change. So if you spend all your time on just relationships, when your relationship doesn't work, when your status doesn't work, when your wealth doesn't work, what happens to you? You become sad. You become depressed. Suicidal. So many people who are suicidal, I'm sorry to say. So what's the solution? What is the deception? The deception is this. The deception is nothing in this world that is impermanent can bring you permanence. Let me repeat and please think. Nothing. 米大半年大半有安有马的事。米大半年 From impermanence, permanent things cannot arise. And if we force impermanent things to be permanent, that's where the unhappiness comes. So the money is not making us unhappy. The status is not making us unhappy. Our relationship is not making us unhappy. Our kids, our wife, our husband, or whatever are not making us unhappy. We are making ourselves unhappy. But you say, but they did that to me. They did that to you. But how do you look at it? How do you perceive it? How do you take it? You see, if you're going to walk across a tightrope knowing you're going to fall, but you're going to do it anyway because if you reach the other end, people clap for you. If you reach the other end, we clap. If they don't, well, they clap anyway because you tried. But if you fall down at the bottom of the hill, bottom of the mountain, you chose it. You wished it. You wanted it. You tried it. So therefore, when we look at things the wrong way, and we hold on to that wrong view, and we keep that wrong view, and that wrong view becomes very strong in us, that's when we suffer, my friends. What is suffering? Let me explain a little bit what is suffering. Suffering is a sense of feeling trapped. Suffering is a sense of feeling there's no end to what's happening to me. Suffering is a feeling of, I have no choice but to do this. I'm not happy doing it, but I have to do it. Suffering is when you feel you have zero alternatives. Suffering is when you feel this is it and I am stuck. Suffering is when you think they did this to me, he did this to me, she did this to me, the group did this to me. That's suffering. Suffering is when you project suffering is when you project your pain coming from the outside to you. Real suffering is when you think and believe that pain comes from the outside and not from the inside. There are people with terminal diseases and they will die, but they're happy. They're not scared. They're not worried about their death. And they continue to benefit people to the last breath. There are people with minor diseases. They become depressed, unhappy, sad. They don't want to meet people. They close their doors. They shut off. They want to commit suicide. Why? Disease is disease. What's the difference? The difference is this, is our perception. Ask yourself, do I want to suffer? Do I really want to suffer? Nobody wants to suffer. From the smallest animal to so-called evolved beings like us, nobody wants to suffer. So if nobody wants to suffer, and there is suffering, and there is unhappiness, and there is unhappiness in your mind, what can you do? Well, the solution is not simple, but it can be simplified. Instead of blaming other people, instead of holding on, because sometimes they won't change. You can do any mantra you want. You can go to any prayer hall you want. You can go to any prayer building you want. You can go to meet any Bomo. You can meet any Lama. You can meet the Dalai Lama. Okay? You can meet the Pope. You can meet the biggest imam in the world. You can meet whoever you want to pray for a change. But that change will never happen. You know why? In monotheistic religions, we are told we have free will. So if we have free will, nothing from the outside can change our mind. But in Buddhism, we say that we have free will too. So therefore, whatever prayer and mantra and chanting, you know, like, that's my enemy, and I'm going to get a serious chant. I'm going to take a little bit from Islam and Buddhism and Christianity, put it together. I'm going to sit there and do a serious chant. I'm going to wait, make that enemy regret it. And you sit. And you chant all day. They're going to regret it. And you get their picture. You put pins in it. And that's very enjoyable. You get a bigger picture, put more pins in it. And then the next day you see the guy driving by waving at you. No, there is magic. I'm not making fun, but we don't have it here. Now, you can keep wishing for that person to change, that individual to change, that situation to change. You can keep wishing for the change. But you know what? You'll be the only person in the cemetery wishing for change. Because you're going to keep wishing it till you're dead. It's not going to happen. So since that person may not change at the moment, that situation may not change at the moment, those people may not change at the moment, do you know what's the secret? I'm going to tell you the secret of all religions. Yes. And you have to believe me because look what I'm wearing. You have to believe me. And remember my status. I'm His Eminence, Tentuku Rimji. I can't even remember my name. I sound like a Malay royalty, don't I? I love it. The Malay royalty have beautiful, long, eloquent, very poetic names. It's like a poem. So I kind of follow them. His Eminence, Tentuku Rimji. I was thinking how to extend it longer. Actually, my name is longer. I'm not going to tell you because you're going to have a hard time remembering it. Just think on my birthday card or my card you're going to write, to your holiness, your eminence, blah, blah, blah. By the time you finish my title, no place to write happy birthday. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you're going to have to believe me. You're going to have to trust me. Because you're going to use your logic to think about it. You're going to use your logic. Never mind you believe in God. Never mind you don't believe in karma. Never mind you don't believe in God or you believe in karma. Never mind you believe in reincarnation or you don't. It doesn't matter. Believe in this moment. Believe in the people around you. I've been teaching for 30 years. And I've been meeting people for 30 years. I'm 46 today. 46 years ago, there was no earthquake and I was born. When the Buddha was born, there was a slight tremor, but, you know, nothing fell, no tsunamis. It was a sign that the devas are happy. Okay, now, I'm going to tell you a little secret, that if nobody changes, nobody transforms. You can see me up close, fun, huh? It's like that with we celebrities, I know. They always try to look at me closely, but I didn't put my pancake on. Okay, now, so I'm not getting too close so you don't see the craters. But then who cares? I believe in the Christine Aguilera song, "I'm beautiful no matter what you say." But she didn't say anything. He said, "I didn't say anything." Now, the person who hurt you doesn't change. They don't regret. The person who did you wrong doesn't change. Your husband doesn't change. Your husband that was your knight in shining armor became a fat middle-aged loser who you can't stand, but you still have to smile and pretend you're together. Or the wife that was the beauty queen that's turned into a scary queen. I mean, all things change. Okay? Nobody's changing. And they got you. They got you. And you're unhappy, and you're stuck, and you say to yourself, "What can I do now? I'm stuck. I can't change my situation." But you know what? You can. They won't change. They won't transform. They won't have a different view. And every day you feel closed in, you feel tight, you feel trapped, you feel like, some of us feel like suicide, please don't. Some of us are so depressed that we go to bed crying every night. They're not suffering, you are. So you know what? You change. You change your view. You change your approach. You will change your tactic. You change your tactic. You change your mindset. You change your anger. You change your jealousy. You change your bad attitude. You change your closed-mindedness. Let me just read something from you, for you, very quickly. Let me read something very quickly for you that I just kind of saved to share with you tonight. This is from the perfect and enlightened Buddha Shakyamuni, as re-explained by the saint, scholar, and master of Tibet, Lama Tsongkhapa. Secondary afflictive emotions. It's not very long, so don't get scared. I didn't get the lum rim out. If I get the lum rim out, camp here. Secondary afflictive emotions. From anger. From your anger. Never mind what people do to you. Remember, I'm not blaming you or the other person. And I'm not saying you're wrong, okay? From anger arises aggression, belligerence, resentment, spite, jealousy, and eventually cruelty. So if we're always angry, and we keep an angry mind, and we keep focusing on what that person, that group, or that situation did to me. If that's all we think about all day long, we meditate, we contemplate, we believe, we hold on, and that pervades our life, all right? If we always think how they did this to me, and we are angry, then from anger comes, according to Buddha, aggression, belligerence, resentment, spite, jealousy, and eventually cruelty. That's what Buddha tells us. I'm not telling you what Buddha says to you to pray or become Buddhist. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you how our mind works. Buddha is telling us how our mind works. Because if we know how our mind works, we can cut off the problems and sufferings. We can cut it off. That's what Buddha is telling us. We can cut off the sufferings created by ourselves. From attachment. Attachment is holding on to something, thinking that this object and only getting this will make me happy. Nothing else will make me happy, but getting this will make me happy. From attachment comes, from our attachment to something, the mind will generate these secondary afflictions for yourself. You will become miserly. you become avaricious, greedy. You become very haughty. And you become extremely excitable. Excitable means prone to getting fits, unhappiness from attachment. I must have this. I must have it. Number three, from having a closed mind. Your mind's closed. It's only my way, nobody else's way. I don't need to listen to anybody. I'm the best. I'm the smartest. I don't need to listen to this weird monk. I don't need to listen to this weird this, that, this. I am it. I am educated. Whatever I know is the best. If you think like that, okay, if you think like that, from that type of mind will arise concealment, suppression of your faults, because you can never be wrong. So even if you have faults, and I have plenty, you don't want to ever reveal them. And if you don't reveal them, you don't improve. From closed-mindedness, you become lethargic, dull. You lose your faith in things that can be good for you. You become forgetful, and you become inattentive to everybody around you. Why? You always perpetually have a face. You can't look at people's face anymore. When they look at you, you can't meet them in the eye. Why? You don't respect them. You know the best. You're the only one that knows everything. And you think that, and it went in. And your face becomes rude. It becomes black. It becomes not cooperative. It's always like, you know, whatever people say, whatever they do, you don't even have the common courtesy to be alert, aware, polite, and share views. You accept or not. You won't even have that because your mind becomes so closed. Because everybody is wrong, and you are right. So therefore, from closed-mindedness, we are told, okay, right now I haven't inserted any religious rituals or rites, okay, so stay alert. Don't be like, oh, when do we get baptized? Where's the trap? No. Let me be me. And how will you benefit Buddhism if you're baptized? Oops, sorry. All jokes aside, being baptized, being thrown some water on you, hey, I'm Christian now, I'm Buddhist now, doesn't save you at all. If it saves you, everybody who takes a bath every day is saved. Nothing, none of that saves you, it's just a ritual, it's empty. Unless it changes inside. From closed-mindedness, we are told by the science of the mind, concealment arises. You hide your faults. So therefore, you can never improve, and you fall behind. You become lethargic, dull. You lose your faith. You become lazy, forgetful, and last but not least, inattentive. That's the result of having a closed mind. So what should you do? Keep your mind open and accept everything everybody says? No. Keep your mind open and respect what everybody says and say, hey, what can I apply in my life that might benefit me? Disturbing conceptions from attachment and closed-mindedness. Now there's a combination, okay? This is number four. Then there's five and it's done. A combination of having an attached mind and a closed mind is you will become deceitful, pretentious, and eventually perhaps dishonest. Why? Because you need to cover your tracks, not that you're a bad person. Then last but not least is a combination of all these, if you keep in your mind, you will become shameless, inconsiderate of others. You have no shame anymore. You can say anything, do anything, you can go extreme, you can be rude, you can be bad, you can be cruel. You don't even feel shame anymore. Even thousands of people looking at you, writing things in the tabloids about you, you feel shameless. Trust me, people are writing things about me all the time in the Buddhist circuit, the whole world. I am the most controversial Lama in the world. And I hold on to the trophy. The second trophy I have from the Buddhist community of the world. No, I'm not kidding. Just go online and take a look. The second biggest trophy that I got that I refuse to give up and share is I'm the only Lama or monk who's a diva. You know what a diva is. Got to be my way. Thank you. I know you must have, you heard me say, but earlier you say, you said that Buddha didn't say it has to be just his way. I know, but I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about me. So when you have all these qualities in your mind and you have not changed them, the closed-mindedness, the attachment, the anger, and these emotions, the final result that you will create for people around you is you will become a shameless person. What does a shameless person mean? You can do anything irregardless of how it affects other people already. You don't feel anything anymore. We don't want to reach that stage. You become inconsiderate for others. You're never embarrassed. You become unconscientious. And you become highly distracted. So from a Buddhist point of view, sharing with an international, interreligious group, what's my message to all of you? You are not inherently bad people. And I am not here to tell you that you're bad people, and I'm so good, and I've got the only way. But I do have a slight advantage over you. I've studied Buddhist philosophy, and I've given up my life for it for the last 30 years. I have studied Buddhism since I was 11 or 12. I became an ordained monk at 23. So I lived most of my adult life studying this, not because I had nothing else to do, not because I didn't have any choices, not because I couldn't do anything else. Oh, trust me, I could have done a lot of other things. But I chose this is because I saw my parents, I saw my neighbors, I saw my friends, I saw the world around me, and I said, you know what? There must be another way. My parents were totally against me studying Buddhism. Totally against. Once I became a monk, my parents disowned me. At 23, I was disowned. They never spoke to me again until they passed away, ever. They cut me off from their will, everything. But I chose my path. I chose to transform my mind. And I still love them. There's nothing to forgive, but I changed my views. Sometimes the spiritual path is quite lonely. It's quite, quite lonely. But that's temporary, because in the end you won't be lonely. I'm not lonely. Look at all the friends I have in this room. Now, if you change your views, lessen the anger, lessen the closed-mindedness, accept, give way, try another way, it's never too late. You will make yourself light, and you will make the people around you invigorated. And you will change the lives of people around you. Do you know what will change the people around you? Let me tell you. Your compassion. Your giving nature. Your genuine, genuine wish to be a benefit to them. Your altruistic, true nature that you and I all possess deep down inside of us will manifest. Your genuine compassion, altruism, and care for others will arise. And when you become a person that is generous, diligent, compassionate, caring, giving, why wouldn't you be happy? And why wouldn't you make the people around you happy? So we have a choice. And the choice here as grown adults, please, don't focus your lives on yourself. Focus out now. You've spent most of your life focusing in. Focus out. And whatever disturbs you, and whatever pains you, and whatever hurts you, do you know what? It's done, it's over, it's gone. It's time for you to stop hurting yourself by letting go. How can I let go? It hurts so much. That's why you should let go. What should you do? Hold on to the fire? Stick your hand in the fire, but it hurts. It hurts. Take your hand out, but it hurts. Take your hand out. It hurts. And you're like, but it hurts. I know, take your hand out. You want help? No, because my way is the best way. Close my business. But your hand hurts. Take it out of the fire, please. And that's like that with anger and closed-mindedness and jealousy and avarice. Is that when we're that angry, it's like being in fire all the time. And even when people tell us, come out of it, you're burning. Nonstop. And you make the people around you burn. If you're a Muslim, that's wonderful. There's absolutely nothing wrong. There are very bad Muslims in the world. But there are more good Muslims. If you are a Buddhist, that's wonderful. There are very bad Buddhists in the world, and there are good ones too. And so on, and so on, and so on. So if we are a good Muslim, if we're a good Buddhist, good Christian, good Hindu, or good atheist, whatever it is, you know what's a sign that you are good? Do you know what's a sign that you're spiritual or you're a good person? Let me tell you. The people around you are not afraid of you. The people around you look forward to seeing you. The people around you care and love you for you. And the people around you respect you. Then you're a spiritual person. Then you're a good Muslim. Then you're a good Christian, a good Buddhist, a good Hindu, a good Sikh, good whatever you want to be. Because if you're a little Bible-wielding Christian running around telling Jesus is the way, but you're angersome, you're hateful, you're spiteful, you're jealous. Oh. It doesn't make sense. So if you're running around with His Holiness Phabongka's great Lamrim text and telling everybody, be kind, or you're praying to Amitabha with your fist drum, reciting Amitabha, but afterwards you're selfish, you're close-minded, you're tight, that's not spiritual. Spirituality is not prayer. Spirituality is not the temple or the church or the synagogue. Spirituality is not a building. Spirituality is not a statue. Spirituality is the transformation you have in your mind and the effect it has around the people around you. That is why it's called spirituality. It's of the spirit. So you can do pujas. You can do mantras, you can do prayers, you can do whatever you like. But if people around you are afraid of you in a negative way, and people around you don't like you, and people around you get hurt by you and are damaged by you, if people around you feel that around you, then no matter how many mantras you do, it's no use. No matter how many times you go to the church, it's no use. I didn't say the church is no use. I'm saying it didn't go inside of you. You see, going to the church is wonderful, but it's the church in you. That's what we need to think. So, what's very important? What's very important is this. What's important is we have a choice. Continue being unhappy, or parts of being unhappy, and making people unhappy will make a difference now. I don't have any healing rituals. I don't have any magic. I don't have any miracles. I can't manifest the Buddha in front of you. You're going to have to stick with a statue. I can't float. I can't walk on water. I can't even make a little flame manifest at the end of my finger unless I have a lighter. Okay, I can't manifest blessed mud to put on your foreheads. Heck, if I eat the wrong food, I got indigestion. I don't have any of those powers. But I will tell you right now, I've had a very unhappy life. But if it wasn't for some of the things I shared with you now, it would be even more unhappy. That's all it is. And the choice is here. So whether you're a Hindu and you pray the Hindu way, that is so beautiful. But make sure you make everybody around you happy. Make sure the prayer extends out. And you know what? The minute something goes wrong, let that be your spiritual training. The minute something goes wrong, don't say, I give up. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do it. That's it. Don't do that. Continue. Because you know why? In continuing what you're doing, although you fail or you feel disappointed, in your continuance, you know what happens? That is spirituality. Because you're developing fortitude. You're developing diligence. The minute we give up, we're not spiritual. We're not spiritual.